We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
Thank you. Okay, at this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Jeff G. from the D.C. area.
Good morning. My name is Jeff. I'm an addict. Wow. She hooked this thing up good. I ain't got to yell at anybody in the back talking about I can't hear you. Can you speak? Can y'all hear back there? No? You okay?
Yeah.
All right. Who can't hear? Okay, come on up here then. They told me roughly 24 years ago, if you want some front row recovery, you need to get on the front row. And I'm just joking with you. I know I don't talk real loud, but as we get along in this, you'll hear me. But if you want some front row recovery, then you need to kind of ease towards the front. It's pretty good up here. I love the view this morning. Okay, I'm straight. I want to first of all thank Rosetta and that remarkable program committee, East of the River, for inviting me to share my experience on illness and recovery. And if you know my story, which a lot of y'all do, I'm the perfect person probably for this workshop. I thought it was an April Fool's joke at first. But it wasn't, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to connect again. My clean date is April 23rd, which is 8 days from now. Yeah, 1988. So a week from next Monday, I'll be celebrating at my home group, Foggy Bottom Steps, down in George Washington University, my 24th year. God's grace and mercy and my choice, because I choose to continue to be a part of this. When I feel a lot of times I've outgrown you guys, I don't really need you no more. I don't like a few of y'all, and a few of y'all don't like me. I don't know where that come from. Why we all the time we don't like each other? After what I've gone through in the last three and a half years, people have come to bat for me. I love all y'all, whether I know you or not. I am honored to still be walking, breathing. You know, a lot of our brethren are leaving. Folks is just, they're dying, man. You know, I've lost a couple of family members. My sponsor died in January after, over 20 years of sponsoring me. She died. It was her time, I guess. So it's a whole lot of stuff that you have to look outside of yourself to address. when in the meantime you're still trying to take care of your own and overcome your own obstacles, you know, your own fears and insecurities and your image, you know what I mean? I lost a leg about a year ago. And you're talking about some humility. Try walking around without one of your legs or one of your limbs. They ain't even asked my permission. You know what I'm saying? Again, my choice. I did what I did. I got what I got. You know what I mean? If I had done a better job of taking care of my personal life, like I've taken care of my personal recovery, I wouldn't be in this situation. But that's life, you know? And then that's kind of how it goes. I am so glad that I have been graced to put together a foundation in here. Even though I'm probably still one of the most rebellious people you'll probably ever meet, I still struggle with doing the right thing on a daily basis. I have a disease that don't really give a rat's ass about how much clean time I have. It don't care what I think I've accomplished. It's doing its job, which is just get on my damn nerves. And whatever this malady is that I suffer from, because I don't speak in general terms about what we did and all that. It's not really my business what you did. But again, you do what you do, you get what you get. And I'll say this, because one of my sponsees, I don't know if Fred's in here or not, Fred said, don't give him a drug log, just get to the exact nature. And I said, yeah, I trained him pretty well. That's what it's about. You know, and Dewey on the front row, and can't get Reggie to come down, and Charles, they couldn't make it. But that's it. Those are the four guys that I sort of work with, you know, and thank God that they give a shit about me enough to come through. I'll say this. People have stood up for me. People have given me stuff because I had to go on disability, and I still waiting for my first check, you know. And I didn't have it like that, but people just showed up. When you're handicapped, which I am, you know, you go into a whole different arena of reality. You know, this is a new ball game. Anybody in here who's handicapped or wears, got the blue placard in their car, or it's like people do a little more for you. People are kinder to you. People hold doors for you. They speak to you. And then I said, this ain't bad. For real. This ain't bad at all. It's really, you know, my illnesses and the stuff that I've had to deal with over the years, it's just more of an inconvenience than anything else. You know, I don't feel pressed like I want to go get high and all that, and, you know, woe is me. And, you know, I got off the pity pot real quick because the thing needs a ring on your ass. And, you get tired of feeling sorry for yourself, you know. My sponsor used to say, well, what you gonna do about it? That was kind of like her favorite little thing. You know, what you gonna do about it? You know, so I watched her go through what she went through, and she left gracefully. She had a nice smile on her face when she passed. And I just think about it every day, you know. When they say here today and gone tomorrow, they were bullshit. You know, for real. And it's just been a heck of an adjustment. what I call them is emotional adjustments to life. And y'all told me that 24 years ago. You're going to get your life back. It might not be what you planned or what you thought it would be on a daily basis. So you need to just, you know, lock in, get ready and deal, you know. And that's what I've had to do. 1995, I'm going to give you a little history of the illness thing. 1995, they told me I was borderline diabetic, actually in 93, diabetes. Might be the most vicious thing going on around here right now. Vicious. Diabetes ain't no joke. And if you want some info, I'll talk to you any time of the day. I am a card-carrying member of the Diabetes Will Kick Your Ass Club. I found out I was anemic, hepatitis C, diabetes, something else. I'm 57 now, so my brain kind of leaves sometimes too. What's that, dementia? CRS? Yeah, I got CRS, which, you know, means can't remember shit. Bunch of little things, man, little things. Again, just nagging, like little, just a pain in the ass stuff, you know, just like, shit, maybe I go through this and see all these doctors and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you do. Again, you're just playing, I'm just playing the hand I was dealt, you know. I didn't ask for it. I really didn't, but I got it. So I'm just playing the cards. And again, my first reaction to everything is almost immediately denial. I write to the denial button, you know. One of my favorite spots. I love denial, I tell you. And it is a river in Egypt. And it's also a river in my damn head, you know. And denial, you know, I live there, you know, because I can't believe, again, I'm like, not again, damn, something else, shit. And then I start talking to some of my folks that I got clean with, and one of my old road dogs is here, and the last person I got high with is here, and she's here, I'm here. You know, what a miracle. We here, bread, you know. I call it cornbread. We here, you know. We still here, 24 years. We fucking still here. We came a long way from Columbia Road, didn't we? Boy, I tell you, them crack days was a trip, man. I tell you, woo. Boy, I wouldn't want to relive that one again. I tell you, my mind be telling me, you know, when I'm in that denial mode and I've outgrown this and I don't need this no more, I just start playing my story in my head. And I just remember Columbia Road, and man, that shit sucked. I tell you, I can't imagine why people are possibly still doing that stuff today. You can't get a taste of this and go back to that. It always baffled me. I don't judge. I just said it baffles me. You know, I walked into a meeting in April 1988, and you guys convinced me in 20 minutes I was in the right place. And I've been battling ever since, you know, because it seemed like once I put the stem and the pipe down and all that stuff down, everything started being revealed to me. And the first thing was how I did not take care of myself. You know, shit just started happening. You know, I had an appendix rupture in 91. And had I not been in the ER at the VA hospital, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to y'all today. And it kind of went a series of events brought me to sitting here talking to y'all right now. You know, a long series of events, and we need a month to talk about all this shit that's happened with me since I've been up in here. But I only got about 10 minutes, so. It just kind of went from there to this. And I've had, in 95, they said I had borderline diabetic, which really means you're diabetic and you just haven't got the memo yet, officially. That's all that means. Ain't no such thing as borderline nothing. You know, when they say that, when they say diabetes, you got it, believe me, it's right there knocking on the door. You might as well let it in, because it's coming. It's in the hall lurking, and it's coming in. So, I went right to denial. Wouldn't come to the hospital, laid around, thinking it was going to get better. Had a pancreatitis thing going on in my stomach. And the next thing I know, I'm laying in the Providence Hospital, half dead, with a blood sugar of like 1,200. Somebody can relate? Somebody can relate? 1,200. 1,200 would probably kill a horse. God's grace and mercy. I exercised a poor choice because I didn't get the memo that day. You know, I did 2 weeks in the hospital, got out, went started dialysis, and my kidneys went out for the first time. People said you gotta do this. I did none of it, and because I still was in denial, still couldn't believe what was happening. I really couldn't believe it, you know. And it just kind of went south from there on, you know. It just kind of went down the hill. The first miracle was Mom and my aunt dragging my ass out of the house, out of the tub, and to the hospital. The second miracle was at the VA, not the VA, Providence Hospital, when they told me, after I started dialysis, I went in there one day to start my little treatment. A very debilitating thing. If you know anybody that's on dialysis, that sucks too. And I've met a whole lot of folks on dialysis. That's a tough one in itself, you know. I went in there one day to start the treatment, blah, blah, blah. They were laughing and smiling, and the nurses and everything. And I was like, well, what's going on? And they told me that it seems like your kidneys are working again. And I was like, what? They said, yeah, you don't have to come back.
Wow.
Again, they sent the memo out. I didn't open the mailbox that day. I didn't get it. They told me that my shit was working again. And I was so happy. I went and got some cake or some ice, something. I went right back to what I know. I went back to using. You know what I'm saying? And I'm using sugar. Sugar is another one. Vicious. Wouldn't will it on my worst enemy. Couldn't stop. You know. Wrote about it, talked about it, and then went out and got a candy bar. You know, it's like people who smoke and know it's killing you, but you give me one. You know, that kind of thing. So that's kind of how it went, man. And it was a progression of stuff that went on, and it got to the point in December 2010 because I had a 15-year reprieve, y'all. When I didn't have to do dialysis, I didn't have to do nothing. I was cured in my mind. I'm cured now. I'm good. So I thought. And December of last year, I started to have issues with my blood pressure. That's another one, hypertension. could not get my blood pressure to come down for some reason. That caused me to have the second loss of kidney function. And I haven't been successful like the first time, this time. In the meantime, I'm developing these ulcers on my legs and stuff from the diabetes. I had ulcers and stuff on my legs. And they progressed. Really, one, it was on the heel of my leg, and it progressively gets worse, you know. This is just information, basically, I'm sharing with y'all. I'm not really trying to, you know, get anybody all bent out of shape or anything, but I'm just sharing what happened to me. This is mine, so I'm just talking about me. The next thing that kind of happened was my boss took me to the hospital, and I haven't worked since February 16th of 2011. Mm-hmm. Haven't worked a day since then. The surgeon came in, looked at my leg, asked me had I had breakfast yet, and I was like, why? You know, no, yeah, I think I have. I said, why you ask? He said, we need to take that leg. I said, take my leg. He said, I said, when? He said, now. I was like, give me a fucking break, man. Shit, me. You know, now. My head still hurt when I think about that day. So I kind of battled with that one and talked. In fact, Dewey was in the room with me when the guy came in on a Sunday morning. He had just came from church and was sitting there. We were talking, and, you know, I'm not no big church kind of guy, even though I'm a recovering Catholic, so I'm definitely, again, no matter what I think I am, the truth is the truth. So, you know, Dewey came in the room. I mean, he was in the room, and the surgeon came in and told me that. And okay, thanks. And we just went on back to our conversation. You know, I didn't act out. I didn't roll on the floor crying, acting like a little girl or anything, did I? I kind of was all right. Again, acceptance is the key to everything in this life. The thing about acceptance is you don't have to like it to accept it. You know? It helps if you do, though. It won't hurt. Because it still don't change the circumstance. You know, you can like it or lump it, but you better accept quickly. And because that's when you can go to work. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, man. I'm going to be finished in a minute. So in the meantime, things have happened. They took the leg in about an hour. I was asleep. Next thing I know, I figured I'd be out for 4 or 5 hours. I'd get these good drugs and all that, and Dilaudid and this and get that. Man, that dude had me in and out. I was out of that thing in about half an hour. I was mad as shit. I was like, damn. Leg gone. And I didn't even get a nap out the deal. Get high. Damn. Sucks, man. You know, all in my head about, again, denial, trying to block the reality. You just lost your leg, man. You know, from the knee down. And then God started sending the angels. He started sending the angels. They were already kind of hating on the side, waiting for me, because a lot of folks kind of like me a little bit. You know, just because I'm just a likable person for the most part. And I'm living proof of the power of this remarkable program we have here. I am living proof of the grace of God in action, and that you don't have to use to nothing. In the meantime, I lost my father, I lost my sponsor, a bunch of my fellowship friends passed. Nothing to be on the pity pot about. nothing to be on the pity pot about, Jeff. It's other people struggling. You're going to have to, like, be there for somebody because they've been there, being there for you as we speak, you know. And it's just been a series of events to get to this point today. Remarkable program we got here. I would not have invested as much that I've had over 24 years had it not been of any interest to me, or if I wasn't benefiting personally from being here. It still makes sense on a daily basis not to get high. This is still the best thing I've ever been a part of, ever. And I'm not saying that as a, I'm straight. So if you're new here, welcome. You're in the right place. You here, you might as well stay. You already know what's out there. Nothing. You know what I mean? You are amongst the living now, whether you know it or not. We met a guy yesterday. We gave a ride. Had one day clean. I said, oh, we're going to get you tonight. I said, Saturday night, they're gonna jack you up, man. You know, I said, just get ready for Saturday night. We got you. So, you know, welcome. And because that's what this is about. It's about us, with us, trying to deal with us and everything that goes along with terms of life that they told us we would have to address. Because you do get your life back. You really do. Everything that I messed up and screwed up, people I've screwed over, it's all been vindicated. It's all been rectified. In spite of, again, my rebellious nature and my sometimes bad behavior, the Creator still sees something in me that I can be of use to somebody once in a while. You know what I'm saying? God, I tell you. So, where I'm at today is it looks like I'm finally going to get my disability. And it's not enough to live on, but it's better than nothing. I mean, I went from having it all to the poor farm, to the outhouse. I mean, begging, people sent me money, help me pay a bill here and there. Folks have come to bat. And the first thing that it does is it strips you of your image. You know, they say if you don't project one, you don't have to protect one. And my image has been totally removed. Totally. It ain't even about image. I mean, I was all embarrassed about coming down here and I'd have to walk around with the leg. And man, that first thing I did was snap. When I got the scooter, the leg first thing came off. This thing hurts. It hurts. You know what I mean? And can somebody give me something for the pain I'm in, please? You know? The medication part is rough. It really is, because a lot of that stuff don't agree with me. But sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. You know? I don't abuse anything. The stuff that I take is kind of, sometimes it's some top shelf shit.
Right.
But all it does is, you can relate.
I started to look at that shit when you got the butters, dog. Yeah.
Thank you. All I get out of that deal, man, because the Creator know. You don't need to be getting high. That's how he talked to me, Slim. You ain't getting high. No getting high out the deal for you. Your get high days are over. We wrap that story up back in the back. That's over with. We don't do that anymore. Whether you like it or not, it's over. So you better lock and load, cross your fingers, say a prayer, whatever you have, or you address the big boy and just say, man, help me. Help me, please, you know, and be ready for the help that's going to come, because don't it come?
Yeah.
What the fuck is coming? Who in here is considered handicapped or disabled? Or, I mean, everybody should have a hand up.
That's right.
everybody in this camp for a man. Mental illness and all that crazy stuff. Yeah, man.
Right. I gotta love
me. We do suffer from a disease. This is was one of the things that made me, that really encouraged me, when they said that we suffer from a disease and not a moral deficiency. That shit made my day. I was like, oh, thank you. I'm really not. I know. First of all, I know I'm in the right place now. And I know I ain't that fucked up because I'm just looking at all the people that's in here. And this is just one room. So this is kind of like a validating what I, you know, what I am saying. You know what I'm saying? I ain't the only one who knows he's a nut job. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I know me. That's what the program done. It's taught me to be me. I know who I am. I am not afraid to share anything about me with anybody, because what I share is just stuff that, you know, talking saves your life kind of shit, you know. So I'm not embarrassed to talk about nothing. I'm really not. They just don't give us enough time to talk about all this shit, you know what I'm saying? But that's good. That's good. I want to thank you guys for just being here. God, this is, man, our convention. I just got to say this one last thing. We have probably close to, we'll probably have close to 8,000 people here. This is the largest convention anywhere outside of California in NA. This thing is like that. And we were talking about Bethesda in 1990, that little hotel up in Bethesda that we tore it up. Didn't we? Oh man, our conventions are off the chain, man. And but they are great. This is the, if this is your first one, you better bring your ass back next year. I don't know, y'all better stop playing and get with the program now. Come on now. But this thing is like that. People have found out about us, some damn New Yorkers. I love them. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Bring a friend, you know, and we'll try to accommodate you the best we can. You know, D.C. area, just we started this thing back in the days, 26 years, and we still kicking. So God bless you all, man. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks for having a share.
Good job.